mankind with this new light of thy divine knowledge, and open the eyes of our minds to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. Thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ, for our God, and unto thee we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is without beginning, and that all holy, good, life-giving Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Wisdom and satan, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Let us attend. At that time, one of the crowd answered Jesus and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclear and unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day." But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. The Lord said, "And great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were her before you."
Glory to thee, O Lord.
of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
Recently, I came upon information about the nutritional value of different foods that has set me to thinking about the way that we moderns keep the fast. In the place of meat and dairy, many of us substitute processed foods, such as soy and margarine. But these and other processed and fat-free foods may be of minimal, if any, nutritional value, and may do more harm to our health than good. Sugar substitutes and juice from concentrate, for example, may in fact elevate sugar levels in our blood, because in effect they're nothing more than sugar water. Fat-free foods may actually stimulate our body to store and even produce fats. Our body needs nutrients to be healthy. If the so-called Lenten foods that we eat are not providing those nutrients, we will still be hungry. Or let's say we'll be hungrier than we need to be. And even though we may be eating less, our cholesterols and sugars, our weight and blood pressure will continue to climb. If, on the other hand, we feed our bodies nutritious Lenten foods, and even as we eat less, we will be less hungry. Even as our minds will be sharper, we will have more energy. We will need less sleep because our bodies are getting the nutrients they need. And our cholesterols and sugars, our weight and our blood pressure may go down. But in the grocery stores of our day, picking out the nutritious from the non-nutritious foods requires that one read up on nutritious foods. And that in itself is a jungle, as I am discovering. Who are you going to believe? It's like you've got all those nutritional churches. Each nutritional diet is its own religion, with its own religious founder. So you have to be discerning. You have to study. You need to read up, and you need to be intelligent. But one also needs to be disciplined to stick to a nutritious food plan. Even so, the results of such an effort are their own reward. Not only are you healthier, you just plain feel better. You now might want to stay away from processed foods. But since we are body and soul, all of this has real spiritual implications. Our soul, too, needs nutrients of a spiritual nature. If our soul does not get those nutritional, those spiritual nutrients, she will be hungry emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. Our society today, with all its mechanical, technological, and digital diversions and entertainments, is one big grocery store for the soul. And like our grocery stores, so much of what our society offers is processed soul food. It has no spiritual nutrients. So that as we feed on these processed soul foods, we only get more hungry and dissatisfied in our soul. And our boredom, our anxiety, our uneasiness, and our depression continue to climb. I wonder if it isn't the case that when we do not feed our body and our soul, there are specific kinds of nutritious foods. That's when we are drawn inexorably, if we are not addicted, to the sensual escapes our society would sell us. Food, sex, drugs, alcohol, tobacco, entertainments, video games, pornography, and many, many other things. Both things that are innocent and things that are not so innocent. And even as we consume more and more of these processed soul foods, our soul only gets hungrier because we are not providing our souls with the nutrients she needs. These processed foods, however, if you think about it, are they not just like the spirit that had possession of this little boy? And when we indulge ourselves in these processed foods, we become, do we not, like the little boy, possessed by all of these foods, under their sway, controlled by them, governed by them. This little boy was helplessly thrown into the water and into the fire. We get to be so that we are thrown helplessly into a consuming desire for more and more sensual pleasures. In addition to those that I named above, we begin to crave things like popularity, recognition, status, and power. Because we are hungry for joy and love, our soul's hunger for nutritious foods throws us again and again into our addictions, whatever they might be, in which, instead of finding the joy and the love that we long for, we only become hungrier, more miserable inside. We may descend into the darkness of a nihilistic narcissism. The nutritious soul food of the church looks to us like broccoli. This is what we came up with the last Sunday's adult ed. We become numb. Let's say we become deaf and dumb to the tasty goodness of Holy Communion, even to the point that we can become suicidal. And the processed foods then will have accomplished their hidden purpose, which is to destroy us, as they again and again promise us the nutrients that they never deliver. I mean to point out that our physical hunger for food, sex, drugs, alcohol, tobacco, entertainments, popularity, acceptance, status, and the like is rooted in the spiritual hunger of our soul. So to look to these processed soul foods to satisfy the hunger of our soul, is this not the same as to be spiritually deaf and dumb? We hear and speak. In other words, we feed our mind and our soul on the word of the world's processed foods. We neither hear nor speak. We do not feed our mind and our soul on the word of God. The word of God is the bread of life, who would give us the food of his own body and blood that endure, that is so nutritious that it endures to eternal life. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the spiritual food that both our soul and body crave. He satisfies our spiritual hunger, and he heals us so completely in our soul and body that we are even raised from death to life. We are restored to our original beauty, clothed in his robe of uncreated light, in the love and the joy our soul craves, because we were made in God and we were made for God. We can see in our epistle lesson this morning from Hebrews how beautiful is the gospel. By his death on the cross, God the Word himself has entered as our high priest into the inmost sanctuary of the temple of our heart, to the core of our physical and spiritual longing, so that we can flee for refuge, as it says in Hebrews, to seize the hope set before us, which is Jesus Christ himself. We have him, says St. Paul in Hebrews, we have him as a sure and steadfast anchor of our soul, our divine hope, who has entered beyond the curtain into the innermost sanctuary of our heart, beyond the curtain of our body, let's say, and into our heart, into the root of our heart, where we are deep beyond all things. Now what Moses said to Israel is fulfilled beyond expectation. The word is very near you, said Moses. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. It is fulfilled beyond the expectation, because in the mystery of the Lord's incarnation and holy Pascha, it is not just the spoken word of God, but it is the word of God himself who has taken up his dwelling in the innermost sanctuary of our heart. The Lord says to the boy's father in our gospel this morning, bring him here to me. May we hear in this the Lord saying to us, bring your deaf and dumb soul that is so hungry to me. For as we see in the powerlessness of the disciples to heal the boy in this morning's gospel, so we are given to understand that no worldly or human food can satisfy the hunger of our soul. The wisdom of princes, the sons of men, cannot open our ears to hear God or our heart, or open our heart to that heavenly love and joy that would burst spontaneously in praise of the only lover of mankind. No worldly philosophy or religion, no ideology or the latest self-help therapy can satisfy our soul's spiritual hunger. because only the body and blood of Christ has all the nutrients that our soul needs and longs for. Bringing our hungry soul to the Lord Jesus Christ is what the Lenten fast is all about, and even it is the bread and butter of the church's spiritual life. This is what it's about. This kind of spirit, says the Lord Jesus, this kind of spirit that is deaf and dumb to the word of God and that takes possession of us to throw us into the fire and the water of all of our diversions and escapes, seeking subtly and secretly to destroy us. This kind of spirit does not come out except through prayer and fasting, says the Lord. But prayer and fasting are the flowers of abstinence. They grow from the wood of the cross. They are given to us as the cross that we are called to take up if we would follow Jesus and unite ourselves to him in the likeness, that means in the intimacy of his death and holy resurrection. And so they are radiant, these disciplines of prayer and fasting, when they are done in the mind of the church. They are radiant with the joy and the light of Christ. They are redolent with the life-giving nutrients of Christ's holy resurrection. So that even as we fast, we are satiated with the nutrients of Christ's joy and light that we taste in the communion of prayer. We pray and fast with both our body and our soul. So it seems to me to follow that to bring our deaf and dumb soul, and we should add, to bring even a loved one to the Lord in our prayer, a loved one who is suffering from such a spirit, to bring to this to the Lord for healing and salvation, we ourselves begin to fast and to pray in the Orthodox manner. I now think that this means to fast in both our soul and our body with Lenten foods that are spiritually and physically nutritional and not processed, to the degree that that's possible. Such a fast, such a nutritional fast, illumines the soul and opens our inner ear so we now can hear the wordless word of God. And it opens our heart so that we begin to speak or to pray in the joy and love of Christ, both for ourselves and for our loved ones, and as we grow up into the stature of Christ, even for our enemies. Such prayer has power because it proceeds from a soul that is uniting herself to Christ in the nutrition of his life-creating death, so that it is Christ himself who is nourishing us within and working in us to accomplish what he desires most, that all should be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.